on the northeast corner of the property where County Road 24 and Brockton intersect has been a banner with the words, "I am not afraid," on it. That's been the theme of our homily series over the last 3 weeks. I am not afraid. And we said that is a response to the truth that your life and mine will end someday. That our days are numbered and the Lord alone knows the number. Some people react to that in fear or anxiety. But women and men of faith can say, I am not afraid. And I suggested 2 weeks ago that the pathway to that statement is living each day with heaven in mind, keeping it always in front of us, and being attentive to the ways that we take our eyes off of heaven and get consumed with the day-to-day activities, the worries and challenges. And when we find ourselves there, to go back to what happened at our baptism, that we've been gifted with eternal life, and we're a pilgrim people on the way. Last week, we were confronted with the reality that the world as we know it will also end someday. This world that we know will end someday. Hollywood loves to play with that. You know, in movies, they'll show us lightning and thunder and earthquakes and bombs and things being blasted out of existence. It can raise people's anxiety, particularly in the real life events going on in our world. And yet, Father Howe and I suggested that there's another possibility, that there's no need to be afraid. In my prayer and study a couple weeks ago, I came across a homily delivered by Bishop Barron 3 years ago. And 3 years ago, Bishop Barron, in his prayer and study, said this. He said, the end of the world will actually be a great unveiling of something significant. I listened to that and got real hopeful. What's the significant thing that's going to be unveiled? What's the most significant thing that's happened in the course of human history? It is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And in pondering that, I came to realize that while we celebrate the resurrection, we take very limited time to ponder its significance. Easter Sunday and the Easter season. But oh, there are more mysteries to ponder there and a great opportunity. You know, if the unveiling of the significance of the resurrection is yet to come, I don't want to miss out on that. And I bet you don't either. But we're so human, we're so weak. We can say and do things that lead us out of God's grace or lead us to wander away from Him. And knowing that about ourselves, the Lord says, I will gift you. I'll gift you with a strength that you can use to fight those temptations to walk away from me. I'll give you something to ease your worries of wandering away from my grace. It's another gift given at baptism and unleashed in our confirmation. It's called the gift of the fear of the Lord. It's not being afraid of the Lord, but it's being afraid that I might say or do something to offend Him and walk away. And the Lord says, even when that happens, I will forgive. My mercy is always there. That was last week. But friends, before we can face and contemplate the resurrection, we must face the cross. And that's today's reading. On this feast of Christ the King, our King is enthroned on a cross. Nothing more shameful, embarrassing, or painful than a Roman cross. Our king, whom we often depict as one conquering, looks like he's being conquered himself. The cross. How hard it is to look at that. And I'm going to invite you to go one step further. How hard it is to be configured to that cross. None of us wants to suffer. We want to avoid it. None of us wants to contemplate it. We'd rather deny it. And yet, the invitation today is to stand faithfully right before the cross. The invitation today is to stand before the cross in the totality of who we are. It's tempting to stand before the cross and say, Lord, look what I've accomplished. I've overcome this weakness, this bad habit. I suggest another way. To let our struggles be what we bring before that cross, as well as our accomplishments. Bring those problems that are here today and gone tomorrow. We all have them. Bring those problems that we live with all our life long, and despite our best efforts, we can't overcome them. We all have them too. Some of them are the results of our own doing. Some of them are out of our control. It's happened in spite of us. Might I suggest that we face the cross with all of that? If we do, we will find a God who's capable of meeting us right where we're at and then healing us. The cross, if we face it, is the Lord's defining of love. It's the Lord's total self-giving of himself. He emptied himself on that cross for us. And if we dare stand before him and face it, we'll see a God who decided to walk into that brokenness of ours and how he desires to walk into that brokenness again in this time, in this moment. And what he brings is life. Today we end this holy year of mercy. The good news is mercy doesn't end. A year ago when we looked at mercy, we said mercy lifts the obstacles that separate people from one another and from the Lord. Facing the cross, God meeting us right where we're at, for some of us, that mercy is right there. He desires to lift those obstacles that you carry and I carry. For others, it's forgiveness. If we dare to stand before the cross, the words echoed from the cross become the words echoed to us. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive her. Father, forgive him. They don't know what they're doing. Facing the cross is forgiveness. For others, it's healing. One of the most beautiful sacraments I get to celebrate is the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. I love that sacrament because with it comes the promise of healing. And when physical healing is not the healing the Lord offers, there is another kind. And in each and every case, the Lord gives us the exact healing that we need, the healing that restores us to him or restores us to our loved ones. Oh, he always chooses the best kind. But from the cross comes healing. While that healing is taking place, from the cross too comes the message that we're not alone, a very consoling message. We pray those stations of the cross during Lent, but they do not have to be limited to Lent. We can take the things that we are condemned by, maybe a loss of job, a loss of health, a loss of loved one, or some other life-changing event. And while it comes upon us and we accept it, we don't stand alone. Our Lord knows what it's like because he was condemned. As we pick up our cross and begin to carry our cross, he knows what it's like because he carried his. And the comfort is we're not alone. He's walking with us. As he meets the women along the way who console him, the Lord puts in our lives people who console us. As Simon of Cyrene carries his cross, people enter our lives to help us carry ours. When we fall 1, 2, 3 times or more, we have a Lord who fell 3 times. You see, those stations are very comforting because they show us different ways that the Lord is with us. From the cross, lessons are taught that we need, that there is no other way we can learn. Some of our life experiences carry with them life lessons. And the Lord, who knows us and our hearts, and who knows the lesson we need, is often there providing it. The cross is not so scary to face in light of the fact that from the cross our Lord enters our lives. In fact, the Lord goes to the ends of the earth to save us and to save all his children. That's the beauty of the cross. And there'll be a great gathering of God's people to himself. He foreshadowed that with David when he asked David to be king of one holy nation. David was the foreshadowing of the coming of Jesus, who is king of one holy Catholic church. Sisters and brothers, all united, present, past, and in the future. That is Christ our King, friends. That is Christ our King. I am not afraid. I am not afraid when I make the Lord of my life and accept Jesus and his way. You've all accepted him in one way or another. Perhaps the invitation this morning is to go a little deeper in that acceptance, to surrender a little more. Maybe like the one thief, we keep trying to find ways to save ourselves. Save yourself, Jesus, and save us. Did you notice the Lord didn't do it and he wouldn't? No. But the other thief, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I can't do it, you can. Remember me. I do well, he said. You'll be with me in paradise today. Perhaps in the face of the cross, we're being invited to be ever more faithful and offer that prayer. The Lord will give us what we need. Christ our King. With him on our side, perfect love always casts out fear.